Good evening, world. This is the podcast Sassafras, and your hostess, Laura Cattell. Welcome back. Welcome back to Infinite Possibilities with Mike Dooley. 10th anniversary edition. And we left off yesterday at reverse engineering. We have hopped into chapter 4. Life is waiting for you. And this is aptly considered the action chapter. Right, because we need to take action in order for the universe to weave events, people, and circumstances into your life so that you can get from where you are to where you want to be. Not that it's not a possibility that staying home, Vanna White can't just show up at your door and hand you $1 million. That's highly improbable. Very highly improbable, in fact. It's almost a statistical impossibility that it will happen. But it does remain a possibility. But I don't think you want to sit around waiting forever to see if any of your dreams are actually just going to show up at your front door. I mean, you can if you want, but, and, you know, good luck to you. But I think you want to hurry things along just a little bit more than that. I'm just going to shoot that out there. I think you want to hurry things along just a tad bit more than that. So in order to do that, much like we discussed in Manifesting Change, you set the GPS, you still have to put the car in gear, and add a little gas. You have to leave your home. You have to go out in the world. All right? You're not going to make friends or meet new acquaintances or network with people if you are at home. Now, that's not to be said that you can't network online, as the world has turned and we've turned into something else, but you still have to put in the legwork of going out and reaching out to other people that you wouldn't necessarily interact with online to meet new people. You have to be in new circumstances. Follow? So taking action can be something as simple as going outside for a walk, going for a drive, going for a workout, opening a book, searching out new topics of conversation on Facebook, or, not Snapchat. I will be very, very honest. I am not hip to all of the myriad different offerings of social media nowadays. I can't keep up with it. It's, wow. So my two that I flip back and forth are Instagram and Facebook. Facebook I use to really talk to people. Instagram I use for inspiration, right? You look on Instagram, you're like, ooh, I want that house, and ooh, I want that pool, and oh, that, you know, that's really nice. Can I have that too? It gets the juices flowing. So we're squarely into the action chapter. And I wanted to go over what we covered yesterday just a bit, because it's really important, and because it gets you on the right page for where we're going today. We left off at reverse engineering. And we had gone through the actions speak about your beliefs louder than words. And I wanted to recap just the end of that real quick. The real error in our thinking has been that we think we must react to the physical instead of the spiritual side of life. I know this can seem a bit tricky, learning to behave according to your dream, your inner vision, especially when you've relied, perhaps exclusively, upon your physical senses to decide how you will act or behave up to this point. It's been even trickier because our entire planetary culture, so far, has conditioned us to look outside ourselves for direction, meaning, and quote-unquote proper behavior. But dancing with your dreams and not the illusions around you, obviously only to the degree you can manage this, is precisely how to bring those dreams about, which is exactly the opposite of how it may appear. It takes practice to think in these terms, but the payoff is well worth it. The physical world is simply a mirror of your own beliefs and thoughts, which means that if there are any appearances you'd like to change, you must first go within. And just an aside, this whole delving deep within in Western culture is a relatively new concept. All right, most of the top three religions, they have their place, they have their thing. I'm not dinging any of them, but they do demand that you look outside to an external figurehead somewhere up in the clouds that you pay homage to and you ask for help and whatnot. That's still looking outside yourself. All right, this is asking you to look within. And it challenges that you, yourself, are in fact divinity. You have the ability to change your world simply by changing your thoughts. I don't know about you, but that's damn powerful. All right. But when he sits there and says, but dancing with your dreams and not the illusions around you, what he's really saying, and what you need to understand, is that the physical world that you are interacting in is the illusion. And the reality is that you are a very powerful being and you can change what's around you with your thoughts. Okay? You can change what's around you with your thoughts. All right. And we went over this in The Secret a little bit, why things don't instantly manifest from your thoughts. And one of those was that there's a time delay for a reason. Do you really want that thing? Or is that just a trendy thing that you're wanting right now and you're not really into it? Let's take an example. Let's say, and I hate to use this as an example, but you'll get the idea. Somebody you have a crush on, right? And you're like, you've got their picture up in your room. You're like, oh my God, and he's so dreamy. And blah, 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 blah. And you go around this way for a little while. And then it peters off and then it disappears. Imagine if you had manifested that person into your life. And then all of a sudden, you just lost interest. All that work, all that hustle, all that trying, all that dreaming. There's a reason why. Also on the flip side of that, the reason why some things manifest and some things don't is because of interfering thoughts that we have competing with the thoughts we want to manifest. Again, wherever your focus goes, all right? That's why it's important, at least for a few minutes a day, to visualize a happy end result, to visualize a fantastic thing happening in your life, to visualize in happiness, joy, serenity, peace, harmony, all those wonderful happy emotions. Even if you're going through crap, even if you're going through shit, even if you're worried and stressed and all of those things, positive, proper visualization, at least once per day, can still manifest the things you want. As Mr. Dooley's own story from earlier in the book, right? First 5 months at Pricewaterhouse, he was spiraling downward. And the predominant thought in his head was, I'm going to get fired. When he realized this, two things happened. One, he started to realize that he needed to become more aware of his thoughts and all the times that he's sitting there saying, oh, I'm going to get fired, oh, I'm going to get fired. Why? Because that's going to manifest getting fired. And two, despite his worry and his job performance, what he did at night is he visualized high fives and smiles and, hey, it's nice to meet you, and being happy at work. And lo and behold, within a month, that's exactly what happened. Okay? So behaving from the end result. but only to the degree you are able and can manage. All right? If all you do is simple things that can reinforce the visualizations that you have in your head, it helps greatly. We also went over that action-taking steps, even if they don't necessarily, the action steps, the steps you're taking themselves don't yield a lot of fruitful things because of the action, to the universe, the fact that you are taking action in and of itself moves you towards the end result that you're after. So, I just wanted to recap that really, really quick. That's what he says, is the physical world is simply a mirror of your own beliefs and thoughts. At his job, his belief was, I'm going to get fired. So what ended up reflecting on that? Nobody smiled. He hated his job. He was apprehensive getting up every day to work. Why? Because the belief in his head was, I'm going to get fired. And so his external world reflected that back to him. But then he sat there and visualized for a few minutes every night on his couch, all by himself, or wherever, I'm not exactly sure if that was on his couch, but high fives and enjoying going to work and springing out of bed, excited to get to work, and all the wonderful things that he does at work, and getting high and congratulations, all those wonderful things. 1 month. And that's despite, in his own words, despite worrying about his job performance the rest of the day. Those small few minutes are powerful when you can visualize properly and when you can get your emotion into it and you can get a proper quality, I'm searching for the term there, proper quality visualization session. And it might take you a few times to get it right, because if you're not used to corralling your thoughts in a way that you can visualize on something exclusively without other thoughts butting in, it might take you a few times, just like when you're first starting meditation, right? It's, how do Buddhists put it? Learning to tame the monkey mind. The monkey mind wants to go here and wants to go there and wants to go here and wants to go there. And it becomes very distracting, and all the noise inside your head. And you're just learning to practice stillness. As if you're training a puppy. No, we're going to go do this thing very gently. Without anger or frustration. No. We're just going to do this now. Alright? So learning to visualize, quality visualize, is much the same way. So, we've gone a decently amount, so before we get any farther, we're going to hop into reverse engineering, but I want to make my shout out to the restaurant industry, all my guys and gals out there in Foodland. Thank you for all you do. Thank you for all you've done. And if you're feeling overwhelmed and stressed and you think you can't take it anymore, I'm begging, I'm pleading, please don't do something you can't take back. Don't quit. Don't you let yourself quit. All right. Reverse engineering. Hopefully, I've made it clear that our actions are part and parcel of our beliefs. So now let me try a little reverse logic. If we can say that our actions are simply an extension of our beliefs, then obviously you can begin changing how you behave by first changing what you believe. Yet if they're one and the same, couldn't we begin changing our beliefs by first changing our actions? This line of thinking should be especially plausible, considering that in the deepest sense, with time being relative or an illusion, all things are actually happening simultaneously. We can begin changing our beliefs by first changing our behaviors. And given how challenging it can sometimes be to decipher our beliefs, with lines blurred between where one ends and the next one begins, or when we struggle to differentiate between quote-unquote reality and what we think we believe about it. It makes a lot of sense to use this approach. With a simple awareness of the beliefs you'd like to possess, or the end results you'd like to achieve, you simply start working on some of the things you do throughout each day. This means initiating actions that are presumably just outside your current set of beliefs. By performing some token deed or deeds on a regular basis that don't make sense in the context of your normal life or normal surroundings, but that are in line with the life you'd like to lead. These new actions then imply the existence of a corresponding new belief. And when they're consistently repeated, the new belief has to emerge. I am going to call BS on that one just slightly. But I don't think he meant that intentionally. So on the one hand, when he's sitting there and talking about beliefs, I'm not sure how broad or specific he's talking about. But I'm going to add a caveat, and I will let you decide. They did a fantastic study, and I learned this from actually a sales group. They did a really intriguing and fantastic study on brain-damaged people, specifically brain-damaged in the emotional processing center. I think that's the amygdala. Excuse me. And they discovered that these people could function completely normally, except in the area of making decisions. Couldn't figure out what to wear, couldn't figure out what to order at a restaurant. Not even the simplest of decisions could they make. All decisions are based in emotion. All decision making comes from emotion. That is scientifically backed up. Our beliefs, like he was saying earlier, everyone has a different tint, color how we view the world, which then rules which emotions we are going to respond with. Following me? So if our beliefs also activate how our emotional response will be, beliefs drive decision making. Alright. But he does have a good point. By initiating actions that are just outside your current set of beliefs, by performing some token deed or deeds on a regular basis that don't make sense in the context of your normal life or normal surroundings, but that are in line with the life you'd like to lead. That is essentially creating a new habit. All right, it's the same way that you create a new habit. A small, consistent pattern that, you know, gets you out of your comfort zone a little bit, repeated enough that it becomes, you know, it becomes one of your normal activities. All right, it's the same thing he's talking about here, except you're creating a new belief. He's utilizing the same way you create a new habit. All right, so how does this look like? So let's say you're overweight, to use his alliteration earlier. Not alliteration, example, sorry. To use his example earlier, let's say you're overweight. Instead of going out and getting, you know, all sorts of diet foods, you change one small thing. You have a nice full 8-ounce glass of water. once a day. That's a small change. When you go out to eat, instead of getting the fries, you get a salad. Okay, small change. Instead of, you know, all three meals at home and two snacks in between, maybe you replace one of your meals, let's say breakfast or lunch, with a protein shake. Okay. And to reinforce these actions, instead of saying, oh, I need to lose weight, oh, I need to lose weight, oh, I need to lose weight, you instead reinforce them with, oh, man, I love eating healthy. Oh, this makes me feel so much better. Oh, I feel so great eating this stuff. It makes me feel so good inside. Really talk yourself up. Small changes. Am I making sense? Okay, so let's continue. All right, sorry. By acting out of the norm, it's as if we temporarily suspend the old beliefs that would have normally prevented us from behaving in this new way. And this suspension works magic. When acting outside your norm, in line with the new beliefs you wish to possess, old limiting beliefs, even unidentified beliefs, as shown earlier with my fear of flying, begin dissolving. They have to, because obviously they no longer make much sense in view of your new actions and behaviors. And while these energies set into motion are outside our normal awareness, proof of their existence is everywhere around us. By simply acting in some new ways, with small deviations from the life we normally lead, we actually tap into and harness the power of the universe and our thoughts. So your actions, in addition to pointing to your existing beliefs, can be used to form and install new ones. In an instant, you can begin changing some of your behaviors, which in turn will start affecting all the rules you've ever made up, including the ties that may have bound you to anything unpleasant. To use the overweight analogy again, one of those ties could be, no matter what I eat, I can't lose weight. Or, everyone in my family is fat. This is just how I am. Or, I'm too busy to work out. It never works. Or, diets never work with me. Or, I can't stand eating healthy. Alright? Those kinds of repeated affirmations will keep you overweight. Where was I? Oh, I'll repeat it just in case. Alright, so your actions, in addition to pointing to your existing beliefs, can be used to inform and install new ones. And there it was. Okay. To put it plainly, you can decide in a flash to turn left instead of right, or to laugh instead of cry. And on a bigger scale, you can decide to behave as if some or all of your dreams have already manifested. Alright. These kinds of actions send a signal to your inner witness that tells it that your reality is no longer what it used to be. And by repeatedly catching your inner witness off guard, it'll find that it can no longer slumber through the predictable routine patterns it's become accustomed to. Nor can it count on the old beliefs it has relied upon to form its reality. When you act in new ways, anticipation of the unexpected is aroused, and previously closed doors to fulfillment begin swinging open. It works like this because our focus in life is currently skewed by the effects of time and space and our place in it, which means that our beliefs are then perpetually developed and refined as we witness our life's physical progress. Our every action is recorded to its finest detail and assimilated through the layers of our beliefs. Your behavior, like your thoughts, especially when repeated, is recorded, and these recordings then prove and reinforce the belief you hold that says, that's the way life is. If, however, despite contradictory circumstances that surround you, you can gather the courage to act even a little out of step with your old beliefs, as if to say, that's not the way it's going to continue. It will be recorded, documented, and carry a message that states, from now on, things are going to be different. Okay, so let's unpack that for just a minute. Again, we will use the creating new habits analogy, and I will reference Darren Hardy's compound effects, which reinforces what he's telling you here. Excuse me. All right. You can go left instead of right. You can laugh instead of cry. You can smile instead of frown. You can look at the world as if, or and say, oh, the world is out to punish me. Or you can look at the world as and say, try me. Nothing you can do will bring you down. Okay. Oh, that's what I was going to use. All right, so I shared to my professional profile, the other day, an image of a mountain landscape. And far in the distance, and obviously you've got the hills and the mountainsides and the forests, and there's a river snaking its way in front of a camera. And off in the distance, you see a waterfall, which feeds that river that's snaking in front of the camera. Manifesting is kind of like getting from where the camera is to where that waterfall is far off in the distance. When you start the journey, right, you start because by seeing the end result. You want to get to that waterfall. But as you look down from your perch, you can see that because of the twists and the turns and the foliage and the forests and the hills and all the other things, that at some point, you're going to feel like you're not walking in the direction of where it is you want to go, even though you know you need to get around that hillside. And at times, the end result, which is the waterfall, isn't going to be visible. Yet you know, because you have seen that waterfall, that eventually if you keep going, reaching that waterfall is an inevitability. It's the same way with manifesting. Sometimes you're not going to be able to see where you're at is going to get you to the end result. Sometimes the end result you want is going to seem like a fantasy. You have to treat the end result that you want as an inevitability. And that if you keep going, it will manifest. Okay? But never discount small nudges. To use the cart and rut analogy, you move the cart in the same... You move the cart in the same on the same track day after day, and it creates a rut. If you deviate off the track by a degree, or 2 degrees, or 3 degrees, even if it's just a little nudge, over a great distance, that nudge sends you in a completely different place than where you would end up before. Okay, and that's what he's talking about here. Little practices, little nudges, little acting as if from gets you outside the box, gets you new beliefs, because you're doing new things, taking new actions. They don't need to be big. You just need to take action. So tomorrow we will come back to acting as if, seeding new beliefs. So we'll go more in depth on that tomorrow. Oh, goodness. And I'm just going to say it again and again and again and again. Because it's the one thing I hear over and over and over and over again. And it really stems from us being really down on ourselves. Believe in yourself. You don't need to be perfect. People will respond more to you when you are authentic. When they realize you're not perfect. When they realize you too make mistakes. You don't get on a bike and ride it perfectly the first time. You fall off, you get some scrapes, you lose your balance, you do all sorts of things until that magical aha moment sinks in and you figure out what they mean when they tell you to hold your balance on the bike. Nobody can actually properly articulate in words to anyone how you find your balance on a bike, on a motorcycle, on a dirt bike, any two-wheeled anything. Right? It's an internal process. Nobody can actually verbally articulate that process and make you understand with just words how to find your balance on a bike. It takes trial and error. It takes consistency. It takes repetition. It takes not giving up. It's the same thing when you're really, really tiny and you're learning how to walk. Nobody can tell you how to walk other than, hey, look, me, see, I'm doing it. But that doesn't instruct anything in the realm of, okay, I have to get my butt in the air, and then I have to kind of move my foot this way, and okay, I got my balance. That's the first time that you learn how to keep your balance, is when you're learning how to walk. And now that you're an adult, you can do all sorts of things, including skydive. Because walking gets you everywhere. All right. Cars, of course, get you there faster, but that's neither here nor there for this example. All right? You have to give yourself permission to experiment. You have to give yourself permission to fail. To encounter challenges and obstacles and know that they're not there to punish you, but to teach you. You are not broken. You are not worthless. You are not useless. These are beliefs you tell yourself because you feel down. And I can't remember where I heard it. But it was a really amazing passage. And it goes a little something like... Hold on a second. Sorry about that. Facebook Messenger doesn't like to listen when I say no alerts. Never speak ill about yourself, for the warrior within is listening and is lessened by those words. Your thoughts are powerful. Unbelievably powerful. As much as you want to rag on yourself, oh, damn it, I didn't get that right. Oh, I was late on this thing. Damn it, I wasn't... Okay. breathe. Just breathe. You are human. You make mistakes. You are allowed to make mistakes. I don't care what anyone else says, you are allowed to make mistakes. That is how you learn. And it's just as important to learn what it is you don't like as it is what you do like. Because in the learning of both, you still learn valuable skills, you still acquire valuable knowledge. So if you do one thing going forward from today, at least once per day, catch yourself when you are saying, dang it, when you are saying negative things to yourself. Just once per day, catch yourself. And in that moment, say something positive to yourself. Remind yourself of some positive thing. Remind yourself of some other serendipitous moment. Remind yourself of that birthday card that your aunt gave you that you can't put down because it makes you feel all warm and bubbly inside. Or that picture that your daughter gave you to remind you that you are loved. Unconditionally. You are whole, you are wholesome, you are worthy, you are worthwhile, you are deserving. Okay? So we will come back tomorrow in acting as if, seeding new beliefs. And we are going to go ahead and do a little wiggle and get in a little shake, and we will do our 2-minute brain break. And that was my back. Go ahead and close your eyes. And let's take a nice, beautiful, deep breath in. Let's take another deep, deep breath and really fill out your lungs as far as you can. Deep breath. And let it back. And just let your awareness settle into the space. And in your mind's eye, I want you to imagine a mirror. And this mirror is as big as you are. Beautifully clear surface. You can make it as plain or as ornate as you would like. And I want you to walk up to this mirror. And I want you to look in it. At your reflection. And what you see staring back is the happiest you. Smiling, exuberant, joyful, confident, beautiful, healthy. Yet it's still you. That is you. And when you have that happy, beautiful, healthy, excited, exuberant you in front of you in this mirror, I want you to walk forward. Walk into that image in the mirror and become that vision of yourself that you see. If that helps you to visualize what you want your life to look at, by all means, go ahead and use that as much as you like. Sometimes that doesn't help people. Goodness gracious. It's magic hour. Everybody wants my attention. Goodness. All right. That particular type of exercise has been used a couple times, and sometimes people will use an actual memory or a future visualization, and they ask you to walk into their shoes. Sometimes that's a little difficult. So imagine yourself as you are in a mirror, but with the emotions you want to feel: safe, secure, free, healthy, wealthy, abundant, confident, happy, exuberant, magnificent, beautiful. Whatever it is that sets you off and lights all your things on fire, man, visualize yourself in a mirror as that's the reflection of who you are. When you walk into that image, feel all of those emotions that person is reflecting to you, the one you see in the mirror. Believe that is who you are. Happy, confident, wealthy, abundant, joyful, exuberant, magnificent. All of those things. And you are worth nothing less. Nothing. Thank you guys for listening. Thank you for being here. I appreciate you greatly. And I will see you guys tomorrow. Have a fantastic rest of your evening. This is the podcast, Sassafras. Good night.